life expectancy in the USA has reduced for each of the past 3 years, year on year. That hasn't happened in over 100 years. The last time was 1918, just after the Great War and the Depression that surrounded it. And much of this, most of it in fact, is being attributed to what is called deaths of despair. Deaths of despair. That is, deaths that are caused by suicide, overdose, and alcoholism. And these have increased dramatically over the last two decades. It's not just a recent phenomenon. In fact, even last year, the number of deaths resulting from overdoses in our nation rose by 30%. The number of opioid-related 911 calls, it rose 250% in the last year. Deaths of despair. And the factors going into this, according to research, is largely economic misery and a sense that no one cares. So people suffering poverty, lack of income, inflation, healthcare costs, multiple debts, and a sense that there's no way out of this, and no one cares, either personally in their own circles or in a political sense. But it's not just that segment of the population you might, in your mind, associate with deaths of despair. When people are asked today about whether they believe in the American dream, only 43% of them say they do. 33% say there's no such thing. And for the first time ever, people do not believe that their children will be better off than themselves in America. And this sense of despair, this malaise, has also affected our young. In an article in The Atlantic recently called "Why American Teens Are So Sad," Derek Thompson wrote this: "The United States is experiencing an extreme teenage mental health crisis. From 2009 to 2021, the share of American high school students who say they feel persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness rose from 26% to 44%. That's the highest level of teenage sadness ever recorded. So we ask, where can we find hope in such a hopeless world? Where can we find hope in such a hopeless world? The Christmas story can change our stories. The Christmas story can bring hope into our stories of sadness and despair. We want to look at how this beginning of the Advent story, the Christmas story, can bring light where there is darkness. We want to be counseled by the Christmas story. We're maybe very familiar with the facts of this story, but we want to really focus on the feelings that these facts can cultivate. We want to look today at hope. In future weeks, we're going to look at peace and love and joy. But today, our focus is hope. And that comes to us especially in verses 78 and 79 of Luke chapter 1, which speaks of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here we see Zechariah observing a hopeless society. He describes it here as people sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. When he looked out on his world, as we look out on ours, he would say something like this: hope is dying. Hope is dying. He himself could sense that he was living in darkness. Political darkness, for a start. His nation, the Jewish nation, was subjugated by Rome and under Roman oppression. That was dark. He was living in spiritual darkness because God had not spoken for 400 years. It was 400 years before that the last piece of biblical revelation was given. 400 years of silence. And Zechariah was in personal darkness too, at least until recently, because living childless into his old age together with Elizabeth, that brought a lot of stigma in these days, in that culture. So he's living in darkness, and as he looks around, he sees dying in darkness too. That's his focus here, isn't it? He speaks of those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, there's a dark life, and there's a dark death being spoken of here. Zechariah, he had shadow truth to believe in. That is the Old Testament. But shadowy truth could only cultivate shadowy hope. The bright light of the New Testament had not yet shone, and therefore the bright light of New Testament hope had not yet been experienced. He was living in the shadowy truths of the Old Testament, and therefore experiencing only shadowy hope of life after death. So he had some glimmers of hope, but that was only for himself. As he looked around him, he saw a culture and a society that had not even glimmers. There was a dark shadow of death looming over the people of this day. They were living in darkness, and they were living in the shadow of death. They couldn't escape this sense of death coming towards them and for them, and had very little hope in terms of what's after, what's next, what hope do I have of life after death. They couldn't escape the brevity of life, the finality of death, and the uncertainty of life after. So Zechariah is looking out and he's seeing hope. That's dying. There's very little of it. Living in darkness, dying in darkness. And maybe that's your story too. Maybe as you look at your life, you say, yeah, I'm living in darkness. I have very little hope. I have very little hope about my life changing, my circumstances changing. As I look at where I am just now and then try and look ahead, I don't see any bright spots. I don't see anything much to look forward to in my life. Or maybe you used to have that hope. You used to have that optimism, but life's experiences and events have drained it away from you. And now, again, nothing. Nothing looks bright and all looks dark. And you wonder, well, what's the point in life? Why bother with life? Is there any reason to live? I mean, maybe, hopefully, you're not thinking of taking your life, but if your life was taken, you maybe wouldn't be that bothered. Living in darkness, and maybe also as you look at your death, you think, it looks like I'm going to be dying in darkness too. You think of death, and or you try not to, but when you do, it's like a dark hole, isn't it? Death casts a shadow over your life and you can't get away from it. You might try and shrink it and minimize it and escape it, ignore it, and yet you feel it, don't you, at times? It might be a pain in your body, or a loved one dies, or there's some accident. You see how even the youngest can be taken away from us, and that cold shadow comes, and you're not sure. You're not sure. Am I ready for death? Am I ready to stand before God? Am I sure I'm going to heaven? Am I sure I'm not going to hell? Am I sure that I have faith in the Savior? And so there's that sense of hopelessness. You fear dying, the process. You fear death itself, the event. And you fear what's afterwards. And so, like Zechariah, your hope is dying. You have very little hope in life, and maybe you have very little hope in death. The hopeless are helpless, and the helpless are hopeless. Zechariah's words are true, maybe of you. You're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. If that's true, if your hope is dying, if your life is dark, your death looks darker, how can we get hope? We get it in the same way Zechariah got it, because he saw hope is born in the birth of Christ. Because here, as he prophesies his son's ministry to go ahead of the Lord Jesus and prepare his way, he saw beyond John's ministry of preparation to Christ's ministry of fulfillment. And he speaks here of this Savior coming, verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Hope is born in the birth of Christ. The sun rises and shines on our lives. The sun, S-O-N, rises and shines where there was darkness. He gives life, purpose, and meaning. Zechariah looked forward to the Messiah coming. He had the Old Testament promises. He had a hope, glimmers, shadowy, but he had some hope. But here, he is seeing things much more brightly than he ever did before. He looks forward and he sees a sunrise such as he's never seen before, a spiritual sunrise with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he sees this sunrise, he sees that this sun is going to shine and be the most beautiful sight he had ever seen in his life. It's a gift of heaven to earth. Notice where he traces this to. He traces it in verse 78 to the tender mercy of our God. God looked down and he saw dark lives and dark deaths. And in his tender mercy, his sensitive kindness, his deep compassion, he sent his son to shine into our lives, to those who sat in darkness. It's a burst of heavenly sunlight that arose when the babe was born in Bethlehem. How does that give us hope? Well, the birth of Jesus gives us hope because it tells us this. Number one, God keeps his promises. Number two, it tells us God has a plan and is in control of world history. Number three, it tells us that God is going to triumph over evil with good. Number four, it tells us that God loves us, cares for us, and wants our good and our very best, both in life and after life. And fifth, it tells us that God will do anything, including sending his own son as a baby into this world to live here, and die here, and rise again here. He'll do anything to make our lives meaningful and purposeful and significant and worth living. The babe of Bethlehem, as he is born, sheds light over life in a wonderfully hope-filled way that gives a reason and a purpose to the whole of world history, but also to our own personal history. The sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness. So he rises and gives light to our lives, but then he rises also and gives light to our death. It speaks of those sitting here in the shadow of death, doesn't it? But Jesus' life purchased and provided salvation. That's what's spoken of in verse 77. He gives knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. This is what gives us hope, isn't it? This is what changes death. This is what enables us to actually look forward to our death without terror. As long as our sin remains unforgiven, that follows us all the way to our death. It follows us to our deathbeds. And I've seen that. I've seen people dying unforgiven with no sense of their sins being removed. And it's an awful and a terrible sight and sound. The hopelessness and the helplessness of that is terrifying. But God gave Jesus so we wouldn't have to die like that, so that we can look back and see every sin blotted out, covered. They're not chasing us down. They're not harrying us. They're not going to visit us and meet us at our death and in our judgment. No, they're gone. And therefore, salvation has come. That takes the shadow away from death, the shadow of sin, the shadow of guilt, the shadow of judgment. The babe of Bethlehem shines a bright light onto our deaths that says, no sting, no fear. They're gone. So here, as the sun rises and shrinks shadows as it rises, so the Son of God, as he is born, rises and shrinks the shadow of death. And every time you might feel the shadow of death casting its pall upon you, go to the babe in Bethlehem and let the light disperse and chase away these shadows, so that they do not exist. His death lightens the shadows, lessens the shadows, and can totally remove them. I'm sure you've seen that too, haven't you? You've seen deathbeds with no shadow, where there's nothing but confidence and hope and optimism, because these believers know there's nothing to fear. The light has risen and the shadow of death has gone. This baby is like a flashlight that we can pick up and shine into the dark future. And as he walked that path towards death, he is like our flashlight that we follow in his path as he guides the way and leads us and never leaves us all the way home. The sun rises and shines in our lives. The sun rises and shines on our death. And so we can have bright hope about life. This babe of Bethlehem tells us God has a plan for not just his life, but the life of all who follow him. that God's in control of that plan, that God has a purpose in the plan of your life. It was dark for Zechariah until Jesus came, bringing the light of the birth of Christ into our lives. It might not change our circumstances, immediately at least, but it changes the way we look at them. It changes our experience of them. Because we believe then that these circumstances are ordained by God and planned by God and for our good, and that good is going to come out of it. It helps us have hope that no matter how long the darkness lasts, the light will shine and the light will triumph over evil. That God's tender mercies are still towards us. And he still has this kindness and compassion. The babe of Bethlehem assures us that no matter if anyone else loves us or not, he does. And so he shines light on our lives and on our death. Listen to this verse in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It speaks of the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that astonishing? Abolished death? You go, I don't see that. I see still a lot of death. Well, it's nothing like death as it was when you're a believer. Death is no longer any power ultimately over us. It's simply a doorway into eternal sunlight. And in that sense, he has abolished death as an enemy, abolished death as our worst foe, abolished death as a shadow, abolished death's power, and done so by bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel. The hope of heaven gives hope on earth. And so when you feel despair, you feel like giving up, you feel like life has no point, no purpose, no meaning, you feel death is a scary prospect, visit the manger. Visit the baby in Bethlehem. And let his light rise and shine on your life and on your death, to beget hope, to birth hope. Remember, we asked up front, where can we find hope in a hopeless world? And we saw, well, hope is dying in the world, but hope is born in Bethlehem. And therefore, birth hope for life and death in the birth of Jesus. Birth hope for life and death in the birth of Jesus. You know, there's a group of psychologists called positive psychologists, and they're not so focused on helping people with their problems, but they're positive psychologists. They want to help people thrive and flourish, to rise above the norm, the baseline. And one of the qualities that they really try to cultivate in people is hope, because they know how powerful hope is. And in fact, they've shown that positive emotions like hope, they actually change the structure of our cells in our bodies. That feeling, that emotion, that experience of hope actually has a physical impact on our cells and on our organs and on our brain structure, and can actually extend life and increase the health and the quality of our lives. That's how powerful hope is. And therefore, if you lack it, then I encourage you and urge you to visit the babe in Bethlehem for spiritual health as well as physical health. And if you see a sagging Christian, someone who's discouraged, someone who's hopeless and cast down, bring them this Christmas time to the babe in Bethlehem to kindle hope in them again. And really, if we are living with this kind of hope, we will be very different people to this world. We won't be like that cultural picture of old, middle-aged, and young, deaths of despair, giving up on the American dream, and teenage sadness and hopelessness. No, we will have such a hope, such a prospect about us, such an optimism that people will actually ask the reason for the hope that we have, as Peter tells us. They're going to look at us and think, there's something weirdly wonderful about you. Can you tell us what it is? What makes you different? What helps you get free of this malaise, this shadow, this despair, this sadness? What gives you that brightness, that optimism, that forward-looking spirit? What's the reason for your hope? What an opportunity. What an open goal to bring the gospel of hope to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The world is longing for this. I don't know if you realize how deeply, deeply needed this is. Try this afternoon. Try this afternoon to go home and just imagine there's no such thing as a Christian gospel, right? As if there is no Bible. You've never heard a sermon. You know nothing about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As if that didn't exist. And then try and imagine living. And then try and imagine dying. And that's the vast majority of people in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. The despair, whatever the face looks like, the despair is agony. And we have a hope that we can bring to this hopeless and helpless world. This kind of Christian hope gives us optimism instead of pessimism, gives us energy instead of lethargy, gives us joy instead of sadness, gives us a sense of belonging rather than a sense of alienation, gives us power instead of weakness, makes us see possibilities instead of problems. It means self-care instead of self-harm. It makes us resilient rather than defeated. It helps us see silver linings, not just dark clouds. It changes us to give us expectation instead of regret, and to give us motivation instead of moping. It's a massively powerful emotion. And that's why so many Christian songs have that kind of hope expressed in them. Let me read you some of the lines that I find helpful in my own life. There's a line in a song by Carrie Job, "In you I rest, in you I found my hope." Phil Wickham, "Jesus Christ, my living hope." "Mercy Me, it's always darkest just before the light. Where there's broken, hope's not far behind." Hillsong, "All my hope is in you. All my strength is in you. With every breath, my soul will rest in you." Aaron Schust, "My hope is in you, Lord. All day long, I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord." Let me give you one more. "Mercy Me" again. "I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone." I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. It's a battle, isn't it? I think some of us find hope easier than others. I'm not one of these. I find hope harder than probably many of you. Battle to leave behind some of the painful experiences and events of my past. Find a fatal attraction back to these memories some many decades ago. And as long as my mind is magnetically drawn to these times, then shadows and despair envelop. And it's an almighty battle to like drag my mind, to separate my mind from that and pull it forward and look forward through Bethlehem's babe to see hope in this life. And hope for the life to come. It takes prayer, it takes the Holy Spirit, and it takes the babe of Bethlehem. As long as I can keep my eyes on that manger and that baby, the mind pivots from the past to the future, from a shadow to the sun. I hope God will give you the same this Christmas season. Let's pray. God of hope, shine the hope of Christ into our sometimes hopeless lives to increase our physical health, our emotional wealth, and our spiritual usefulness. Amen.